following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, if you would, we're just going to look at a couple of verses this morning. Galatians 3:13. Today I want to talk to you concerning the title, Appropriating What's Already Yours, Part 1. Appropriating what's already yours. You know the problem, guys, is not that God has not given us all blessings, as he says in Ephesians 1, in heaven and earth. 1 Corinthians 3 says all things are yours, life, death, future. The problem is we just don't, we're not cognizant of it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't know how to appropriate what God has blessed us with. And here's the classic verse, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And this is an incredible promise. You know, there are two chapters in the Old Testament. It's Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And those two chapters delineate an incredible amount of curses of anyone that would violate the tenets and statutes of the law. Okay? If you abide not by the law, and you ought to read those chapters, every disease and sickness is blight, adversity, horrendous cataclysm. It really speaks of the ultimate diaspora of the Jews and the dispersion and fear and suicide. Even cannibalism are listed in those two chapters. And so what he's saying here in Galatians 3 is this is the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is if you didn't keep all the law, you were subject to the power of these curses. Well, the marvelous thing was Jesus Christ became a curse for us and broke the power of the curse of the law out of our life. We don't labor under the sphere, or we don't keep the statutes of the law of those consequences. But the problem is a lot of people today think that it's automatic. They think just because they're saved, born again, spirit-filled, whatever, that therefore the benefits of deliverance from curses in their life is automatic, just kind of kicks in. But you know what? Observation and experience will reveal otherwise. Let me ask you something honestly. If you look at your life, or you look at a lot of the Christians you've known over the years, are these people's lives reflective of a life free of any curses or blights or cataclysms or troubles or consequences? No. The truth is a lot of people's lives are full of curses, Christians as well. In fact, it's interesting. You can go back to Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and you can see recorded there a lot of calamities that are in Christians' lives. So the truth is that curses are present in Christians' lives. And yet we're told in Galatians 3 that the curse of the law, Jesus, has delivered us from the curse of the law, redeemed us from the curse of the law. So what's the problem here? Is he not speaking the truth? Did Jesus not become a curse for us and break the curse of the law? Then why is it so prevalent in the lives of believers? Well, I believe the simple fact is because it must be appropriated day by day. Jesus even said in the Lord's Prayer, he said, give us this day, what? Every day we're to come to the Lord, ask and you shall receive, and appropriate the blessings, the results of what he did when he died and he rose from the dead. It's not automatic. And there's such a misnomer, such a deception, so profligate and so widespread that because I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus is just going to do it all for me. I beg to differ. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says we are co-laborers with him. Okay? We initiate. He follows through. Everything happens by faith. So in fact, the reality is, folks, where it says, give us this day our daily bread, there's another place in the scripture, has another set of promises that we have to daily appropriate. Turn to Psalm 103. The Galatians 3 is a classic. How many people we know walking around cursed in their family and they just don't appropriate? They're born again and yet they live under the consequence of the Old Testament law. It's because they haven't appropriated. One of the reasons they're not taught this, they're not taught the basics of what Jesus did and how one must appropriate. It's not an easy believerism thing. It involves a difficult walk of faith and making choices. But Psalm 103:1, here we have an incredible promise, like an insurance packet, of what God has provided for you and I that's already yours and mine. But again, I'm going to tell you as we go through these. Now, it's interesting. Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 is the negative. Those are the curses. Psalm 103 is the positive. These are the things God's done, and yet even though so many Christians are walking in the curses, so many Christians are not walking in the blessings. They're not walking in what's already theirs, is promised in Psalm 103. Why? Because they're not appropriating on a daily basis. And there are conditions to the appropriation. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, I would submit that verse is the key to appropriating everything in the whole psalm. Bless the Lord. He's actually speaking from the Spirit. You know, we're spirit men. You can command your soul. Now, thank God you're born again. You know, Linda was talking about people who didn't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you don't have any firm rock to stand on to take charge over your mind and over your emotions. You know? It's like trying to get out of quicksand when you're in quicksand. But when you're born again, your feet are on a rock. You have a human spirit that's alive. And you can get in the spirit regardless of what you feel, regardless of what you sense, physically, emotionally. There's something else inside of you. This summer, I got to tell you what I went through. I literally experienced hell. You know, to be laid out in a bed and they're just full of malignancy and given a short time to just all of this stuff put on me and Jesus coming and appearing to me. Guys, and then I saw a vision of heaven. I tell you what, I was able through the context of that, praise God, to witness, to smile, to talk to the doctors. I was able through the whole context to stay at peace. Now that's phenomenal. How is that possible? Because I'm a spirit man. I have a spirit. All that's in the soul. And, you know, it's every day it's just grace. But it was a I actually experienced an ability to find something deep inside of me I didn't know was there. To put my feet on, that, you know, regardless, Jesus is Lord. And everything's going to work out for the good, regardless. He's faithful. Therefore, I can subject, you know, but the problem is people don't have those moorings. Those foundations in the spirit tossed to and fro in the soulish. And the key here is in verse 1. Bless the Lord and all what? Folks, to whatever degree you're not committed to Jesus, listen, to that degree you're miserable. How many of y'all are miserable at any time? You've got misery in your life. Torment. I'm going to tell you something. It's really simple. The kingdom of God is so simple it can be understood by a child. To the degree that you have misery, to that degree, you are uncommitted to Jesus Christ. You have an area that you're not worshiping Him with all. See, the command, the first command is love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength. When you love Him with everything within me, when you love Him, bless the Lord with all that's within me, and you're totally exposed, guess what? There's no place for misery. You may have calamity and trial and affliction and struggle, but you're not miserable because you have hope. You have joy. You can live in the midst of hell and at peace, just like a hurricane. There's an eye in the middle of it. But the reason I found, we've learned this years ago, decades ago in the deliverance ministry. We used to call it Jesus is Lord issues. The reason a lot of people are demonized, guys, it's not because of sin. It's because of an area in their life they're not committed. An area of life they've reserved to their rights. They're not going to give up. They don't want to surrender. They don't want to die. They don't want to do what Jesus is saying. They want to retain their rights. Okay, Jesus says, fair enough. That area is misery. You're subject to torment and demons. It will torment you with fear, fear of death, perversions. Every kind of imaginable thing will try to squeeze through that hole. That's the way it works, guys. To whatever degree, that's why it says in Ephesians 4:27, give no place to what? Because you give Him an inch, and I found the safest place to be is totally, just like a flower opens its petals to the sun. Isn't that amazing, that phenomena? One time I rode by a field of, I think it was sunflowers. And I forget, and it was kind of early in the morning, and all of the flowers in the whole field were bending to the sun. Have you ever seen that phenomena? They were all bent to the sun. And I guess during the day they moved. God, that was a teaching. You know, and so if you open yourself and the sun comes in, there's no place for the demons. So really, the key to Psalm 103 is bless the Lord with all that's within me. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Now look at the subsequent verse, next one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Want to hear something interesting? That word forget not, listen, you know what it is in the Hebrew? It means to mislay. In other words, you had it and you lost. Isn't that interesting? Forget not all his benefits, to mislay it, to lose it. A lot of it are cognizant of these benefits we're going to go through. We had them, but we lost them. Like you lose your keys, you lose your glasses. You know, you lose the truth. And the reason people are so tormented is they forget the truth. It's interesting, Linda, you and I, we were riding out to Conroe, Woodlands last night to get that generator. And she was sharing with me about that deliverance you had years ago, right? Where God delivered you from all this torment. You felt like, over a night, a couple of nights, you felt this unraveling of this stronghold in your life. But what was interesting, she shared that testimony. It all started when you came to a revelation of truth. When she got a revelation of truth, and that the truth set her free. And the deliverance followed the truth. And the truth is there's a lot of demonic stuff. But the problem is it's because we believe in a lie. We bought some kind of lie, and the demonic just thrives under the lie like bugs under a rock. That's why it's essential to sit under the anointed word. The truth gets in the inward part. The greatest deliverance occurs when you get truth in your inward parts. And get light and revelation and clarity and understanding and perspective and vision and wisdom. The demons can't hang around. Can you imagine having a great job and a great salary and you have an incredible benefit package? You know, vacation time, one month a year. Comp time. You have full health, dental. You have an expense account. You have a company car. This is the benefit package of your job, and yet you never use it. You never avail yourself of it. You know, when you get sick, you go down to the local clinic. You know, you never take off. You take a bus to work. And you get all these benefits. Now, that's silly. You'd say, why in the world would I work for a company with an enormous benefit package and never use it? Well, you know what? That's really how it is. God has got this incredible benefits, and a lot of people don't use it. In the kingdom. They don't avail. Again, the teaching is appropriating what's already yours. God's given us this marvelous benefit pack. We don't appropriate. We don't use it. Why? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to use it. He doesn't want you to be free, to be a witness like these guys were testifying this morning. You know that guy in your apartment complex that fed everybody? You know, just for once in our life, and fortunately for this brother, he was not all caught up in self-pity, was he? He wasn't all caught up in me, mine, sitting there, moping in the dark. He looked out, and God moved in that apartment complex. Brought the gospel in. You know, believers, the problem is, I wrote here, they're either not aware of these benefits, or they forgot them. Now look at verse 3. We're just gonna look at one today. I'm just gonna make this real short. We're gonna look at one benefit. I'm gonna go through them slowly. Appropriating what's already is. I'd rather just go through them slowly and appropriate them and just get through this right away. The only benefit we're going to look at today is the first part of verse 3. It reads, who forgives what? You know, I looked up that word all, and you know what it meant? Now, why is that number one? Why is the first benefit God forgives all your iniquities? Anybody got a reason? Because that's the biggest thing the devil whaps people with. Most people walk around with low-grade guilt, like low-grade fever. You know, they just still beating themselves up because they did this, that, and the other. The devil brings it to mind, they listen. Guilt and shame and condemnation and accusation from the devil. Revelation 12 says he's the accuser of the brethren. He stands before God and he accuses us. It is the biggest tool the devil has Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, we're not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get advantage over us. And the previous verse talks about forgiveness. The devil knows that we have a liability, we have a tendency, an infirmity, to believe that somehow we aren't fully forgiven, we got to do good to warrant forgiveness. And you know, a lot of the problem is maybe you have received forgiveness, but you haven't forgiven yourself. Which is nothing but pride. Did you know not forgiving yourself is pride? Because you somehow think that there's something you can do to have done better. Let me ask you honestly, how many of y'all right now that I'm talking, just be honest, are struggling in any way with guilt, shame, condemnation, or accusation about something you did in the past at all? How many of y'all are struggling with lying right now? Come on, raise your hand. Be honest. What I've found over the years when I've ministered to folks is usually a third of the people in the room are suffering with that. One time I realized I could preach on that every single week. And people would go, wow, what a cool revelation. It's because it's the plan of the devil. Now, I want to remind you of something that will set you free today. This is worth the price of the admission. All right, you ready? It's called the blood of Jesus. They overcame him by what? Now, what is the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus means, what it means is when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon him, he who knew no sin became sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin, and when God looked at him in Isaiah 53, he made him to be the propitiation for our sin. Okay, he became the sin offering, the lamb slain. Okay, and when Jesus died, all of the iniquities of every man were put on Jesus. And there, every sin warrants wrath. Every sin warrants death. He that sins shall die. And that was the dilemma God was in, because he loved this creation, and yet he knew they'd sin. So he found a way out. You know? He worked a deal. And the deal was, I know, I'll put it on myself so that I can love my creation and yet satisfy the just demands of righteousness. So Jesus Christ took the iniquity of us all. Upon him was laid the iniquity, and Leviticus 16 is the Old Testament type of this, you know, on the Day of Atonement, and Christ fulfilled it. The iniquity of us all was put on Jesus Christ. And when he died, Isaiah 53, it says it pleased the Father, for he made his sin a soul offering that he should bring many to righteousness. Now what this means, guys, is you will never, ever, ever be good enough to get free from that sin. The only way you're free from sin is because somebody paid the price for you, period. And that's it. I don't care what the sin was. It was put on Jesus Christ. And when he shed his blood, what that means is the payment was made. The devil cannot beat you up because someone paid the price. Now, why would you keep beating yourself up for that? You know, if you got a dragged into court, you know, and there was the DA filed something against you, you know, and you were accused of some guilty thing. Maybe you ran a red light and you killed somebody, you know. What do they call that? Involuntary manslaughter. And you're there and it turns out, you know, maybe you went and had a beer with a friend and you ran it and you killed somebody and you have, what? That's even worse. DUI, manslaughter. And you're looking at, you know, you go to, and boy, that you're in court and they're looking to throw the book at you. And you're looking at, you know, the destruction of your career, your wealth, your family, your future, your reputation. And as you stand before the judge and you've decided to opt out of the court, you've got to go to the judge. And he stands there just ready. He says, by the way, I want to tell you, you're completely free. Because someone came in, someone you don't even know, has taken the penalty of what you did. Justice is served, it's just not served on you. Now, if you walked out of the courthouse totally free, would you beat yourself up for what you did? That's stupid. That's exactly what we do, guilt. We beat ourselves up. Folks, it is the lie of the devil. The lie of the devil, guilt, shame, and condemnation. You've got to learn to forgive yourself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to beat yourself up, and you're going to feel like, you know, you're nothing and nobody, and then the demon's going to say, well, you might as well sin again. You might as well go and splurge and get in the flesh. I mean, why not? You're already miserable. You know, a little bit of escape for your misery. Am I right? And so you get into that trap, dude, and you begin to build a stronghold. And then you're demonized. Now, I'm going to pray in just a minute, break that demon of guilt and shame and condemnation off. See, some of y'all didn't raise your hand. Look at this. Two other places. Just look at verse 8. Do you know, I want to tell you something. That first benefit is so powerful, he reinforces it later in the psalm. Look at this, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions for us. You see this? He reinforces it with a bunch of... Those are some of the most comforting verses in the Bible. East versus west, that's pretty far separate. Let me ask you, how far removed are you from the sins you've committed? 10 feet? Across the room? In the backyard? Down the block? Keeping them in a storage room to go pick them up once in a while? You know, Micah 7:19 talks about he shall cast our sins in the depth. You know, do you know something God doesn't? Now, God is omniscient. Omniscient means he knows all things. But did you know something God does? How could I know something God doesn't? Anybody know what that is? It's your past sin. Can I amen this morning? You ready for this? Listen, this is really powerful and profound. Often our problem is not much so much our sin as believing what he did with our sin. Often it's not so much our sin as believing what he did for our sin. It's easy to repent when you know you're totally forgiven. Last place we're going to look and we're going to pray. Verse 13. Again, the first benefit, he forgives all thy iniquity. Verse 13. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear them. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. Look at what he calls dust, grass. Flower of the field, the wind passes over it, and it's gone. The place knows it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness is children's children. To such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. You know what that says to me? Quit taking yourself so seriously. Amen? Bible says you're dust, you're crabgrass, you know, the wind blows, you're gone. You know, people walk around thinking so serious about themselves. Psalm 39 says, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. You're like a hand breadth, the breadth of a hand. Or James says, you're like a vapor. I mean, you know, it's a joke to somehow think that you and I are anything other than just, it's because of mercy. Notice he says, it's the mercy. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you take yourself seriously, you believe guilt. See, when you take yourself seriously, you'll believe the lie of guilt and shame and condemnation and accusation, the devil beating you up. You know why? Because you somehow think, yeah, I have to pay for that. I have to pay. I got to get my brownie points back so God will be happy with me. Now look, God is good. God corrects. God chastens. Amen? You know, the Lord revealed something to me. Some of this calamity went through the summer and some of the consequences. The Lord has shown me that about a year ago and the struggles that I was having, I started to pray a prayer. I said, Lord, I need you to deliver me. I can't. And the Lord showed me. I remember telling him, Lord, I need you to deliver me. I'm finding an area in me that's stuck. I need you to deliver me. And you know what? God is faithful. Sometimes if you are stuck, you can say, Lord, would you deliver me? Now, it may be the backhand. But you know, I'll take the backhand of Jesus any day. Amen? That's okay, man. Whatever. I want to be delivered. The Lord knows my heart. I want to be pure and righteous before him. And if you find that something is bigger than you, then cry out to him to deliver you. And give him full access. Say, Jesus, go for it. And Lord, I hold nothing back. You know, my prayer has always been, man, turn the fire jets. Whatever you got to do, burn it, crush it, smash me. Take it all away. That I might be pure and righteous in thy sight. Is that your prayer? I didn't hear many people go, yeah, yeah. Yeah, smash me. Me first, Lord. Smash me first. I'd rather be smashed by the hand of the Lord than buoyed up by the devil. Amen. A day in the house of the Lord is worth a thousand. God, trust me, man. I was telling Linda last night when I was, you know, there's a whole level of the fear of the Lord in my life. I mean, in just about any context, I say, okay, will that make him happy? Will he be pleased? Is that righteous? Because I told Faith this. She came and saw me in the hospital about a month after surgery. One night, we were talking, and I told Faith something. She began to bare her soul to me a little bit. I said, Faith, I said, you're looking at a man who has had a privilege to see something few have seen, the judgment throne of Jesus Christ, and have seen him on the throne of his anger endures but for a moment. But you know what? That's healthy. Because we must all appear before the throne. And it's really helped me. Because I know I'm going to stand before that throne again. So I'll tell you what. I mean, it's amazing in my mind. Something goes on. Little stuff. You know, having to do with money or having to do with planning or having to do with cars or, you know, little, you know, you ever get tempted to fudge just a little bit? Just a little fudge? I mean, like, you know, a couple extra cents, man, somebody gives you a little bit more change than you need. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all have these problems? Well, you know people that do. You know what? The fear of the Lord is on me, man. I don't want to suffer eternal consequence because of 22 cents. Are you hearing me? In fact, if anything, you know, he that gives to the poor, the Bible says the Lord will not be his debtor. And I said, Lord, extend this fear of the Lord thing on me that I can see all that you've given me. Why did he give it to me? All that he's given, it's not for me. Lord, I pray that you would put the fear of the Lord on us, but first you deliver us from this trap of guilt and shame and condemnation. Y'all say that after me. Jesus, I thank you that you took upon you every sin, transgression and iniquity, rebellion, hardness of heart, wickedness in my life. You paid the price once and for all. And I don't have to deal with it anymore. I'm forgiven. I've turned my heart to you. Satan, you're a liar. I renounce you and your accusations. I renounce guilt and shame and condemnation. For I'm under the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now get thee behind me. Now, I want you to do this, guys. Everybody in the room, put your hand right here. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command every thought, every memory of past sins and iniquities to depart from my mind, my imagination, and my memory bank. Lord, I pray for angels of the Lord to swab the decks with the blood of Jesus, to cleanse my mind with the water of the Word. Now let's just praise him and thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Come on, give praise to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. You spirits, why, I'm gonna rebuke you. Why are you praising? Come on, praise the Lord. Guilt, shame, condemnation, accusation, I take your power. I command you to leave now. Shame, condemnation, accusation, I command you to leave the emotions. Take your power to the mind in Jesus' name. Go. I take your power. Condemnation, accusation, shame, and guilt. I take your power in the name of Jesus. Go. Hand you to flee. Go. Come, Lord, I pray you'd rain mercy upon us. Mercy and grace and kindness and joyfulness and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. Forgetting the things that are behind. Pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling. Praise the Lord. All things are new. He has not exacted upon us the iniquity that we deserve. As far as the east is from the west, as far as heaven is above the earth, so his mercy is great. We declare these things in the spirit world. Let's all stand. Boshti katalamon, rejoice in the Lord tonight, this morning. Rejoice in him, man. We're going to walk free this week. Free in the spirit. Take a deep breath. Tell everybody, take a deep breath in the name of Jesus. Keep your hands, stretch your hands forward. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. I speak a blessing now. Peace. I speak a blessing of grace. I speak a blessing of hope and joy, power, healing, deliverance. I speak a blessing of boldness, Lord. Lord, of passion, of willingness to get out of our comfort zones, to love, to reach out and to pray for the sick and heal and set the captives free. And everybody's set.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.